UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday on The V Show, presented by Universal Windows Direct on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Welcome in. This is the second hour of Fast Break Friday. Mike Pratt here with Marcus Maben. And Bob Valvano is traveling someplace. And Nikki, how's he feeling? You feeling a little bit better? He's been under the weather for forever.
Somewhere between duty and balls, I think. Like, he feels absolutely like duty balls. He's not feeling so good.
Well, he hasn't felt good for a couple weeks.
Yeah, this is crazy season. He's flying, and I don't know. We need to get the old man some orange juice or something because his immune system is...
I sat there and told him a week ago, I said, Bob, I said, pineapples. I said, go to...
That's a good point.
I said, go to Kroger. They have the little cylinder pineapples. I said, the bromelain, the anti-inflammatory product, parts of the pineapple, and the vitamin C. I said, it's like an injection of vitamin C. You go get those pineapples. I'm telling you. So anybody listening that you're talking about flu season, and if you're really worried about it, if you take it serious, listen, the pineapple's going to cost you, though, but... What
the juice is worth the squeeze?
Yeah, 100%. So Pops, if you're listening, pineapples.
I had never heard the pineapple thing. Now, I take a vitamin C pill every day. I take one of those supplement pills. Nope. But a pineapple, I like pineapple.
That's why I was searching for, I'm not a vegetable guy. I'm not a fruit guy. I don't know why. Like, the Lord put this stuff on here to keep us alive. And I don't know what. But pineapples is something I enjoyed. So I kind of looked up what pineapple is especially good for, because I knew that was one of the fruits and vegetables that I could stomach, you know, and I put on my pizza and everything. So when I started reading about it, pineapples were more on the super fruit list.
Wow. Did not know that.
Yeah, for the human body. So I'm like, yeah, I can do this. So now, like, even when I hate...
Now you sleep with a pineapple.
Listen. when I don't feel like spending any money on anything... The pineapple is the one thing that I don't care, you know, what sacrifice I make. The pineapple is not the sacrifice. And speaking of dads, since I got a little more time, I got a story for you.
Okay, right? Put it on me.
Like, this is not going to be so much sports orientated, but I need your participation. You know what
Absolutely.
I'm saying? Because, like, you and I, when I was thinking about the story, I particularly thought about you because... You're going to be one of the people that might get, okay, you have a good rapport with your dad where y'all can get on each other and there can be some problems and you can work through them. But sometimes some of those problems feel like this might affect the family. Like, our relationship moving forward might be affected. So, Mr. Pratt, I got to give you just a quick small history that Nikki and these guys, they pretty much know. Now, my dad, he comes to visit me every holiday season.
He's
right?
retired.
Actually, he might as well be. He's a high school history teacher in Atlanta. You know, he's saving the kids.
But he's a military guy.
Yeah, a retired military pilot. Okay. Yeah, okay. He was a helicopter pilot, airplane pilot, all the good stuff, right? So my dad has a habit, right? He comes every holiday season to visit me, And he, you know, he stays a couple of days, and we eat really unhealthy stuff. We eat pancakes, and it's like he saved.
Ooh, pancakes.
Yeah,
ooh.
Yeah, he's a breakfast nice. Guy. So I do a lot of really unhealthy baked potatoes and breakfasts, and we just splurge when he comes in town. But he has this other habit. Every time he comes in town, he loves to wait till I go to work or till I'm going to be gone. And he goes through all of my clothes, right? And I swear, he finds... It's almost like he has a telepathy. He finds out which is my favorite Adidas jacket or my favorite Adidas hoodie, right? And he'll take it and he'll pop the tag off because he finds the new stuff. He goes into my closet, finds, and you know, like the stuff that still has the tag on it is the stuff that you're saving for when you really want to enjoy.
The big dance.
Yeah. For whatever it is, right? And he does it. Every year for the last 15 years, maybe, right? And here's what he does, Mr. Pratt. Not only does he take the good jacket, pop the new tag off of it, he works out in it, right? He works out in my...
Whoa.
Listen, and he knows once he does that, I don't want it back. Like, he's going to, you know, like, Dad, you sweat it, you know, you sweat it up. And
yeah, but you wash it.
Listen, It's it's the newness. It's the reason it's in the closet with the tag is because it's new and it's fresh.
Well,
and
you're saving it for something.
Yes, but he'll grab it and he'll, like I said, he'll sweat it out real good. And then it's his now, right? Okay, so I was giving you the backstory.
I got it.
So you can appreciate.
That's the My Germs move.
Yes.
You try to get the cupcake off your friend's tray at lunch, and you pretend to sneeze on. Oh, my bad. Hey, are you going to eat that now?
Right.
Like, no.
Right. I made the uncomfortable joke earlier that, you know, a woman wearing a nice fitting T-shirt of mine, it's done. You know, because you know she's anatomically going to stretch my shirt to a way it doesn't fit me like I want it to fit me after that. So that was my other example, right? So
and it probably looks better on her anyway.
Yeah, right. So. You know what? Go ahead and keep that. You know, but here's okay. So
keep it on.
Right. I gave you the backstory, right?
Yep.
So I don't know if you knew this. Mr. V always gives me a hard time about this. Cameron Maben, my cousin.
Yep.
Yankee Cameron Maben, former Yankee Cameron Maben. He just signed with the Detroit Tigers.
Oh, really?
Yes, the other day.
Free agent?
Yep.
He's going back to the Tigers?
Yes, nice. He's going back to the Tigers. You know, my son's up there in Detroit. Cam's going to be in Detroit. So, you know, I got all this news, you know, popping up on SportsCenter. And I'm like, awesome. You know what I'm saying? I can't wait to get out of the studio. Life is good. Everything's going good. So I sent Cameron a text message. You know, what's up, Cuzzo? You know, congratulations.
Send me a couple hats or whatever. Yeah.
No, actually, this is what happened. He got the call from the Yankees. Like a day or two after he came into the studio and did a show with me.
Oh, did he really?
Right? And,
wow.
And
I remember that.
Yeah, right. You remember?
Yeah, I came in and was like, oh, cool. Cameron's in.
Yeah.
I wasn't running midday rush yet, so I was still stumbling in at like 11:45.
Okay, so right after that show, you know, like I said, 48 hours later, he got a call because he was playing here. You know, they were playing the bets. He was with the Cleveland like Mud Hens, right? And here's the thing. He's on the show talking like, because
Toledo Mud Hens, that's their minor league AAA
yes,
team.
Yes, sure. So he's playing AAA. He's just here for the bats, you know, game. He's a triple header. So he says, you know, cuz, you know, Cam, don't, you know, I didn't press him. I'm like, hey, man, if you have a day off, you know, or whatever, some overtime today, come on to the studio. He said, man, you know I'm coming, you know. So he came and did the full show. It was great, you know, everything. He got that call. 48 hours later, probably, you know, and I was just so excited. He was so excited to tell me because during the show, he had such a good time doing radio that he was like engaged and he was like, man, this media thing is awesome. You know what I'm saying?
I might want to try.
Yeah. Right. And the tone and the mood of that conversation, I was like, slow down on the media thing. Like you still, you know. You had some good numbers, you know. You
still got the big checks coming.
Right.
Come on now.
Once you dip below the Mendoza line, then you know you can come.
Don't
over
be
here.
In a rush to get in this world. I don't care how much fun you're having. Yeah. And he says to me, man, cuz we he said, this is what he said. He said, man, we done good, man. You know, like we're talking about 14 years in, you know what I'm saying? So and I like I said, I caught him right there a little bit, like, I understand you enjoying it, but enjoy your, you know. Enjoy.
He's played in the bigs 14 years.
Yes.
Now. I didn't realize he'd been around that long.
I didn't realize he'd been there.
Because he went number 7 to the Tigers out of high school.
Okay.
Yeah. So his numbers are a little skewed because, like, say he's 17, you know, number seven pick in the draft, right? So, again, he's appreciative, you know, very, like I said, very humble kid. He actually, when the funny thing was, he talked about how he envied guys who went to college because listening to them, you know, back and forth in the locker room about their colleges and
the my experiences.
Team, yeah, my team beat yours. So he was kind of talking about that. But point being, I digressed. He gets that call, you know, we're excited. And I'm like, you deserve that call. You know, I'm glad you didn't start thinking about, don't even let retirement enter your brain, you know, things like that. So as soon as I talk to him after he gets the Yankee call, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, hey, and he's like, man, you know, you were right. And, you know, we're all excited. And he's like, man, I'm like, Jersey, you know, Jersey me. And you remember your dad had asked about a hat, you know?
Yeah.
At the same time, I said, Cam, Jersey, I got you, cuz, right? So here's the thing. He gets this Tiger, you know, this Tiger deal. Congratulations, cuzzo. I sent him the obligatory congratulations message. You know, it takes him a couple hours to get back with me. Thanks, big cuz, you know, blah, blah, blah. I can see y'all faces. Y'all are wearing it. Like, where is dad going to get involved in this story, right?
He got your jersey.
Yeah, I had a feeling. I was like, wait a minute.
Cousin Cam text me, by the way, big cuz, did you get your jersey? Question mark, question mark, question mark. I respond, question mark, question mark, question mark. Dad, I love you. If you are running around Atlanta, Georgia, with my Yankee, maybe game-worn New York Yankee jersey, I don't think we're ever going to recover from this. Like, I hear what you're saying, and you can wash it and all that, but no, that was a gift from my cousin to me, and the fact that I don't even know it exists is a problem. I am willing to change my name to Marcus, formerly known as Maben, if my dad is running around wearing my New York Yankees game-worn Cameron Maben jersey. Am I justified in my anger?
I think you are, but I think it's kind of ironic. I think that's ironic, maybe, that you were upset that he was wearing brand new stuff and getting it all sweaty, and now he's got game-worn sweaty stuff, which is clean, of course, but, you know, game-worn, and now he's wearing it, so it's like he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't.
I can't assume he's wearing it, but I know my dad.
You can assume. But, I mean, you know what happens
Dude,
when you assume.
Don't tell me that, Nikki.
You know what happens when you assume, though.
Both
a lot
of
times
right
you're off
now,
the right.
I need both of you right now to just say, not even your dad would do that, Marcus. He put the jersey away, and he forgot to bring it last. He's had it since Thanksgiving.
Oh, well, he's probably starting his own collection. I mean, you know, that's you're pretty passionate about this, though. I will give you credit for that.
Am I unreasonably passionate about this? I mean, No.
That was a gift to you.
Yes, and this has obviously been like a pent-up sort of thing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's not just like a one-time thing. This is a lifetime of...
Achievement.
Of angst. Like, that's just, you know, snowballed into the Yankees.
So which would you be more mad about, the Yankee jerseys or him taking your favorite new clothes every time he comes to town?
Oh, the Yankee jersey. Because you can't buy a game-worn Cameron Maben jersey at New Era. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I'd be pissed off. I have a brand new... thing that he's wearing. I got news for you, you know. I mean, this is what happens when you're a man-child and you live at home for unreasonable amounts of time in your 20s. You know, I've said it before. Like, our underwear has gotten mixed up before Pops and I. Like, he's worn so much of my stuff. And
Steve called it dad tax, and I'm like, that doesn't apply anymore, right? That dad tax stops at Halloween candy, right?
At your age, yes.
fair enough. Like I said, I appreciate y'all letting me get the therapeutic session out.
No,
you know
absolutely.
What I'm saying?
You
two are laughing, so obviously I'm way overboard with my angst on this situation.
But here's a question for you along those lines. When you played, they gave you practice stuff and then they collected it and they washed it. They washed it all together. Marcus Maben stuff with Reese Gaines' stuff, my stuff with Randy Poole, Dan Issel, whoever.
Right.
It was all mixed up.
Right.
You never knew exactly what you got on the backside. You might have got somebody else's drawers, somebody else's top. That didn't bother you?
Well, I will say this. I will say this. By the time I got there, shout out to Jonathan Israel and those guys, they used to write our numbers on our individual boxers, tights, things.
Cool. Yeah.
So I slept a little better, but it would always be some person who says, yeah, but you're still washing them all together.
Yeah, they are. That's true.
Right. So I could. It was something like it was. That's one of those sausages made kind of things that you just have to get out of your mind. Or listen, the germaphobe is not an athlete.
No. Right. Yeah, our equipment manager used to push a basket in, one of those rolling baskets, and he would grab your stuff or you'd throw it in there, and it's all mixed up. And the next day, you would get something in a towel rolled up inside a towel. You're supposed to shower with the towel.
Right.
And you'd have all the appropriate uniform in there for practice. And later on now, they start putting them in baskets so that it was yours or mine or Nikki's. Yeah, always, okay, unless you lost it. But back then, man, they put it in a pile.
Right. So, yeah, I do remember actually thinking how cool, you know what I'm saying, it is. Like, again, during the break, you and I had a conversation about basically how the selection process, the evaluation process of a potential employee. And especially when we're talking about the sports world, I mean, you can say employee and we can make NCAA jokes about these kids being employees and all that kind of stuff and go down those roads. But as far as just your evaluation process of talent, you know, and cultivating it into a winning corporation, team, anything like that. And the detail, like a kid, you've seen a college student come to school and say, oh, man, y'all do our laundry, you know, every game, or we get new shoes every, you know. And you've seen a
couple warm-ups.
Right. And you've
walk around sweats.
And you've seen a freshman come in there and say, hey, man, y'all gave me mismatched socks. And you're like, some of those kids appreciate the smallest things. And like I said, the examples I use are kind of poor, but I know you understand the point that I'm making.
I do.
You've watched a kid sit at his first pregame meal and just look happy. And I'm not talking about the kid who is less fortunate that didn't eat well. I'm just talking about the kid who appreciates being able to just sit down and have, you know, somebody ask you for drinks. And, you know, even if they got to do it before, just there's a certain level of appreciation. And that kid who appreciates the small things feels like he owes it to the franchise. He owes it to the organization. He owes it to his coaches. I appreciate pregame meals and all this stuff that I'm going to give you that extra, you know, when we get on the floor or do the job, or I'm going to stick around a little more because life is good. And it's not because we give you so much stuff, like we have to give you more and give you more to make you play, you know, harder, things like that. Just you got a certain style of person who just they're grateful for the opportunities to find their own success, that they treat your organization with
respect.
Yeah, with respect. You
know? Well, no, I think we were all spoiled as athletes to some degree, depending on the generation you came through. Mm. We ate steak and at noon, and we ate another small steak at like 5.
Yep.
I didn't have steak like that when I was a kid, you know, and you did it for every game. Now, you look at this situation now with young fellas, and you know, I'm not knocking anybody. Right. This is the way it is. They have a buffet set up. They can eat 3 or 4 different types, like fish, chicken, steak. I mean, it's a great spread they feed them.
Right.
And I'm not saying they don't deserve it, but I'm just saying that they're so used to being treated specially, and maybe they are special, that when it all comes to an end, you know, when I got done playing, I didn't have a 16-ounce steak and a 4-ounce filet mignon when I was playing in the NBA. The ABA, we got up and got hot dogs on the road, you know, because we didn't have the per diem.
Right.
But we were all spoiled to some extent. And then it's hard when you come out the backside. And as you said, some guys appreciate it ongoing more than others.
Right. So when it ends, the guy who appreciates it, when it ends, you don't even bat an eyelash. It's like having a good car that lasts you a long, long time. And you know you should have got rid of that car a long time ago. But if it was good,
it feels good.
Yeah. And if the car was good to you and you appreciated it, you almost give it a what is it, 21 gun salute, you know. Yeah. you send that car out the right way, and you don't sit and cuss that the car is broken down. Now you say, this car has been
it's great. A beauty. Yeah. It's a beauty.
Yeah. And then if somebody dares challenge the beauty of your car, it's funny. My son came to town, right? And I had my old car, you know.
Now he's playing with the Lions.
He's with the Lions, yep, right? Yep. He comes in town, right?
And you have a son in the NFL.
Right? So he comes into town, and the parking lot, you know, by where I live, you know, it's just an open parking lot, right? And it's one car, and it's right in front of my front door, right? And he asks me, Dad, where's your car at? And I looked at him, because this car that I had just, it battled for me, you know, when I didn't.
It's your baby.
It's my baby. And like I said, yeah, look, yeah, it has a little fender issue and little rust here and there and, you know, things like that. But it has just gotten me back and forth across this country so many times, you know, when the check engine light was on and I got another year out of it before I had to, you know, get it fixed. You know, it's just, I valued my car, and it started every morning and it got hot quick. And when he asked me that question and I looked at my car, and it was the first time I saw it, even it was the first time I saw a flaw in my car, you know what I'm saying? And then I realized the lights out, you know, like one of the parking lights is out, and that bumper is really rusty. And it's probably, you know, it took him to his outside eyeballs to let me know that car is probably got to go. But to me, I only saw beauty in that car every morning. He's like, yeah, it's time, you know. And but again, to my point, 21 gun salute to the car, you know. It's like the guy who traded in the car, I'm like, now what are you going to do with this car? Like, don't just give this car to anybody. And it's like, yes sir, it's not your car anymore. And it's like
it's going to the auction.
Yeah right. But it's like my spirit is in, you know, is the values of this car. So yeah, the whole point of that was the level of appreciation is going to help your organization if somebody appreciates the little things. And yeah, I just, you know, fascinating conversation.
And all the successful organizations, programs, whatever, have a touch of, look, this is the way we operate. This is good. They talk, coaches talk about, hey, you know, you're not going to get this the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. You're earning whatever you're going to get. You're starting to earn it now, but it's not always a piece of cake.
Right.
And enjoy it, appreciate it, respect it. And then when you move on, you're prepared to face and deal with whatever happens. Mm. And that's hard. That's hard for young guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to live in the as a friend of mine, Bud Olson. Mm-hmm. Bill Olson's brother, dear friends of mine, and EE used to say, are you on scholarship still? I thought you were done.
Right. And like the interpretation of that is like the scholarship. And here's the thing. You always run into that problem with the conversations about, you know, players, student athletes being paid or compensated more because, you know, especially former athletes, college athletes. You and I talked about, you know, maybe the athlete who feels like they deserved more or should have gotten farther in their professional career. You know, you have that attitude of the guy saying, oh, everybody should get paid. All the money should go, you know, should go to the kids. And then you have somebody who says, I took advantage of all the networking. I took advantage of all my opportunities. So my post-college career, I was springboarded. I was propelled into life. You know, by the way, he or she
created that.
Yes.
By what they did.
Yes, yes. And then you have the Middle Earth guy that says, okay, I didn't know how to take advantage of this stuff because, you know, I don't come from an environment that, you know, like, you know, let's just say the Middle Earth of the athlete who didn't know how to take advantage of the college scholarship, whose coaches didn't, you know, didn't emphasize going to class, which we would have to agree. Huge, ton of coaches, ton of programs do not care if you set one foot in a classroom.
True. They're out there.
Yeah, you know, there's a, like, out of all the college athletes I know, like it's an unfortunate amount of programs that do not emphasize the networking part of it, the social interaction, just come onto the campus. And we're talking
play hoops and that's it. Yeah, don't get in any trouble. Just play hoops. Don't get in any trouble.
Right. Football, you know, all sports, you know, there's an alarming. That's why it was really nice when they started keeping track of the graduation rates and putting some onus on the coaches and the universities to emphasize it. And think about it. All the years, you're just now starting to track, you know, and penalize based on academics, you know. So you run into that conversation, you know, and you run into those fighting, you know, those combating, you know, areas of college sports. And it's like, it's hard to work through, you know, it's hard to come to a common ground when you have good cases made by all, you know, all sides of, you know, that.
Well, that both sides have to be willing to come to a common ground. I mean, so many times they're beating their heads against each other or a door, and nobody's willing to give up something to get it right.
Since I got your brain kind of going down this road, we've never got a chance to talk name, image, and likeness. Now, like I said, I can imagine where I think you would go. Again, somebody who was taking advantage and appreciated everything the college game gives. Where are you at on name, image, and likeness? Because, you know, there's obviously, you know, that side is obviously the traditionalist that says, you know, you already get too much as it is. And the new group that is saying, if you worked at a job, you know, like if you worked at a job and your side job, your part-time job over here was what do you have in your backyard? A lot of times you have a storage unit.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the old shit.
Yeah, yeah. Like
she shed.
When I'm not when I'm not doing my job, I'm making sheds. You know what I'm saying? And then your company says, yeah, we you know, all the shed stuff goes under our jurisdiction too. You know what I'm saying? So it's like your lack of opportunity to even have a secondary job would be ridiculous, you know what I'm saying? And but I see that group starting to show up a lot more. Like, imagine if this, you know, if there was any other conglomerate or corporation that could get in on your other stuff.
On your shed.
Yeah. Right. Like,
stay off my she shed.
Right. So, yeah, I was just curious to know, like, where do you stand? Do you have any give on that conversation at all?
Do we need to take a break before I pontificate on that? No. I think that's good. That's good.
We do need a little bit of a break here. When you said the shed, I don't know if you guys remember it, but there's a hilarious Mad TV sketch where I think it's Mad TV. It might be SNL. Where they're just like having a polite conversation. It's like two pairs of parents at like a barbecue. And then one of the parents just gets up and starts screaming, like, Rodney, get off the shed. I will disembowel you in front of everyone here and use your hollowed out body as a pinata. And then they go back down and they start talking back to, like, you know, the family, like, oh my God, did you see what the hedges that the Johnsons did? And then they'll get back like, Rodney, stay off the shed. Like, it's hilarious.
That's parent life.
One town I lived in, and I'll let it go at this before we come back, they had a local watering hole called the shed, and I did visit it from time to time. So there you go. Welcome back to Fast Break Friday. Bob Valvano is out and about trying to put together his game plan for tomorrow. Marcus Maben, Mike Pratt here. And I want to tell you what, that's my world right there. The temps,
right?
Back in the day, man.
It's unfortunate that every kid has to roll their eyes at older people until they start listening to this music.
Amen.
You know, I came in here the other day, and I was telling Nikki, I believe, about the in the delegation draft, I would attempt to steal.
The social medias.
Not Dean Martin.
No. You wanted Frank Sinatra. We're talking about a different draft. You would take Frank Sinatra.
Okay, I've heard clips. I've heard scenes of movies, you know, where but as an adult, like, I actually will get on YouTube and get Frank Sinatra, and I will listen and love the music. And you can't count how many times an older person has told me to listen to some music from their time, and I've just blew it off. And it's like the emotions that come out of old school music is just like you can't simulate it. But it took me so long to have any appreciation for anything, you know, that wasn't my, you know, direct culture.
The songs were written to people. I mean, they wrote the songs to address people issues, people relationships.
Right.
And they put them to music.
Right.
And it's kind of like in my car coming home from a UK game, I'll have a Sirius satellite. I have that. And I'll go to Watercolors, which is the jazz station sometimes,
right,
along with others. But they'll have some guys that nobody's could remember that come up with some stuff. It's just great to listen to. But the way they put the words about situations to the music back then, it tells a story. And the stories were, if you listen, the stories were pretty cool, really.
And passionate, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Passionate, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
My girl, you know, guys begging for his girl to get back, right?
The music was so good, too. The quality of the music, Frankie was, like, known. Like, musicians wanted to play for Frank Sinatra because, like, he really was all about quality. Even the vinyl. Like, and everyone knew about his temper. Like, he would get into fights about what vinyl was used for his records because he wanted to make sure it held up.
Passionate.
But they also said, what I've read, Nicky, is that, you know, he was very good, very complimentary and good to his ensemble, to the people that played with him.
He treated his whole team.
And so if the three of us are background for Frank, and he's telling us later on how much he liked it, let's have a drink together or something. You know, we're thinking, that's pretty cool. Frank
and I'm gonna play with more passion. Yep. When I do it. Okay, name, image, and likeness.
All right. I think the whole thing so far has been mishandled. I called it to you as like clown school. Okay, I think it's been totally mishandled from all sides.
Right.
And if I was on. I think it's all brought on when the young fellas, their friends, family, and fools that surround them see all the money that everybody's making, and they go, well, I don't think he's getting enough. See, that's the point. It's not that they're getting nothing, but it's they want to have more or they're not getting enough. If I was the NCAA and I was trying to sell this, I would lay out four or five schools. You don't need to probably name each individual player, but three or four different situations and what exactly are they getting, okay? What exactly are they getting? I think it would amaze you, Marcus, what some of these guys get as far as cost of attendance.
Not me in particular, but yeah, I get your point. Yeah,
and the value of all the clothes we talked about. There's a lot of value besides what people think just a scholarship, okay? There's a lot of value to it. Now, saying that, I see no reason why they couldn't decide to give you a piece of every jersey that's sold with your number on the back or your name and number, okay? Or if they used you in a certain situation with your likeness and your name to make money, I think that would be fine. You've got to structure it where there's no way out. Put everybody in a box. Maybe they put the money in the bank and give it to you when you're done.
Like
I don't know.
Escrow
the thing. But I think from a coaching standpoint, it opens a multitude of problems. Okay, first of all, I think most people don't realize that this will only affect a few people. Okay, only a few people. Only when you came out of high school, hey, Marcus Maben, big name guy coming to U of L. You know, maybe I
not
can
at
use
all,
him, maybe I can use him to do some autographs at my business.
Right.
Joe Schmoke comes out and they go, nah, he's not going to draw anybody. He's not getting any hype in the newspaper.
Right.
Okay, so I'm not going to do anything for him. So most of your team, male or female, probably aren't getting much benefit from this because you're not going to sell a lot of T-shirts for the fourth and fifth person or game jerseys.
Does that keep kids in school longer?
No. No, why would it? I mean, I think it's an add-on, but no, it's not going to keep them. I mean, Look,
the guys who are affected are the guys who probably don't have a problem anyway.
That's right. The guys that are affected are the guys who are going to go high and make millions out of the draft. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean those are the, let's be honest. Those are the guys that are going to. Those are the guys that I would want to have come sign autographs at my car dealership,
right?
Or sign autographs at my restaurant. And this same guy, it's going to be top 15 pick. And how can you turn that money down? So now. There's no equality to this. I mean, there's no way you can get everybody on this team
come close
money.
Right, right.
You know, it just is.
Let me ask you this. Is it the fear of, now, without making this one awkward, the Dale, what's his name, LSU head coach?
Dale Brown.
No.
Will Wade.
Will Wade. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
That's a disgrace.
You were right, Dale. You were right, Dale Brown. You know, good call. What I was going to say, Will Wade. Are people worried about you having to manipulate more money for that guy who's right outside of the top guys? Because, it's easy to say your Zion gets his percentage of jersey sales. But what about the guy who you still want, but we have to find a way to sweeten his pot a little bit because he's not quite Zion, but he's more talented than most of the field. And then you start, guy number three and guy number four. And then how do we, do you think that's a big concern?
Oh, yeah. It would be to me as a coach and as an administrator. How do you, what people don't, you just can't open this up and say, hey, go do it. It's wild game hunting season.
The leaky dam effect, you know.
You've got to have structure from the NCAA level on down that they don't have at all the colleges. You have to have structure. You have to have people that are, manning those structures, tracking those structures, because I think the NCAA really is afraid of wholesale cheating beyond what they have now.
Right.
Okay. So it's going to cost money. It's going to be a people issue. I don't think the NCAA or the colleges are quite ready for that. Mm. But saying that, if they're going to do this on the state level,
right.
There's all kinds of stuff flying around out there. If California would get that deal passed, what they got out there, that means they can't come back here and play anybody. They can't play U of L, can't play Kentucky, unless we've adopted their situation.
Sounds like the lawyers are going to get prepared to have a field day.
You know that.
As Keith pointed in the back, getting ready to go on.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, it's all got to shake out that way. Mm. Okay, and take it to the Senate, the Congress, House, whatever.
As we speak, they're actually, addressing Congress.
Yeah. So they all have lawyers, too, and it filters on down. And so what actually – that's why I say it's been clown school, because this could have been solved 3 or 4 years ago if parties sat down and really made an attempt.
And a lot of egos, too.
Somebody's got to give up something. Somebody's got to give up something else. It can't be a total win for one side or the other. It's got to be put together, and people have to be willing to work, and people have to be willing to not totally get what they want.
Is there so much greed that this is going to be an impossible, fix?
Well, yes. How much money do you need? Okay. how much? I mean, there's enough to go around. There really is, if it's done right,
that statement you just made is that a legal statement anymore? How much money do you need? That's always been a standard statement. How much money do you need? It's like now the answer has become all that I can have.
Yeah, some people it means different things to different people. Okay, it means different things to different people. But you got coaches that make $2 million a year, defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator. You got the president of the NCAA that makes $2 million plus benefits, and they say that's $2.5 million. Now, come on. Look, if you're making $2.5 million a publicly traded company, and you're making money, and you're doing all the right things.
I guarantee he gets more than $500,000 in benefits.
Well, I don't know, but it's up there.
Right,
it pushes that $2 million beyond. Mm. And what's going to happen with the money? If all this money comes into the leagues from television and this and that, they try to upgrade all the sports, and they do.
Facilities.
Mm-hmm. Facilities. If they don't, the university's going to take it. So you got to spend it. I think that's kind of their overriding philosophy.
Right.
If we don't spend it doing something for men and women sports, be it facilities or whatever, then the universities we can't come in and take it.
We can't justify keeping it.
In the bank someplace. They don't want to let you. It's the wise thing to do to put it in the bank for future problems. Okay, a rainy day fund. They're not going to let you do that.
Listen, I've always told people my Louisville era and the war chest that they built, you know.
Bill Olson.
Yeah, that Bill Olson built.
Yes.
Like, people are, by not having the state name, you know, for Louisville to still be able to stomp with the big dogs, you know, I always credit, if you go back, the war chest they built, the rainy day fund was unmatched. The unselfishness, you know, that went into the war chest, the Coach Crum, I don't need the latest deal. I don't need the new deal. That is why this university has survived and flourished through everything. You know, like I said, just the idea of the war chest saved the life of Louisville.
Well, that's so true, because basketball was the main driver of all those finances back
right
before they got with, I guess it was Howard.
You know, right, the greed wasn't there.
No, it wasn't, and they were able to. Bill Olson was able to put that money away, and then ultimately able to use it for facilities and whatnot. But I think there's going to be a shakeout. I think there's probably going to be a real legal mess before it gets shaken out.
Mm-hmm.
I think because both parties now feel like that they're not going to give up.
Yeah,
anything.
They're dug in. Okay. Yeah, they've dug in.
But the thing that concerns me more than anything is how college basketball is perceived by the NBA and what the NBA is doing now. And you know, I think the leveling off of teams this year, the parity of teams, has a lot to do with a lot of guys in college basketball that didn't hang around, that should have hung around. And it's happened the last few years. Mm-hmm. And then what's multiplies that is when you have a soft high school class coming in as far as players ready now.
Yeah.
You got players that are going to be developed and be good, like your Williamson, like Brooks, like Juzang. They're going to be good. They're not one and done.
Right.
But so many guys left that shouldn't have because they saw the money going to wherever it was going in college, big money. They say, well, I can play in the G League and make $40,000. It's more than I'm making now.
Mm.
Or I can go to Europe or maybe South America, whatever. And what they fail to realize, there's only so many jobs, as you well know. I mean, there's 15 jobs plus two ways for 30 teams. That's it. And I've always wondered, Marcus, is – the NBA Players Union, you're asking them to go along and rule out the one and done and let them come out of high school. You and I belong to the union. Now, we didn't have a union when I played. It came just shortly after that. But we pay, I think the dues is like $20,000, $25,000, maybe more now.
Right.
It's a lot of money. Take it right out of your check. They don't ask you if you want to join.
Right.
They say, you're joining, we'll get your money out of your first check.
That war chest has to be nice.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you and I belong and we're just outside of the rotation or maybe just in the rotation, you know, rotation 7-8 guys, depends on the coach.
Right.
And then everybody else after that. So why are they out here opening the floodgates for guys to take my job? And you've taken my $25,100, whatever it is. You've taken it already. You're supposed to be representing me.
Mm. Yeah.
Huh? What's that all about?
Strengthen your leadership and understanding the policies and how they affect you, you know, more meetings, more gatherings to really go through the nuts and bolts. It's where we end up today when people are just going for party instead of the issue. And you can leave it at that. You know, that's our society and that's what ails us, you know, understanding the direct issue, like taking the time to invest your mental acuity into what the details, how does this affect me directly? Not what, you know, our party president says or our union leader says, you know, like, I know I'm going to educate myself on this. So when I come to the meeting, I can ask the questions. I can talk to the other union members. I can ask, you know, what is this union doing? You know, things like that. They're necessary. We could go on forever about that, but people, it would just be you and me talking and nobody else listening. If in a perfect world.
In the NBA, outside of probably Major League Baseball, maybe football and basketball are a step behind Major League because Marvin Miller got that union started many years ago.
Yep.
And it's really, really strong. But the NBA and the NFL have strong unions, strong presence in their unions. You know from your son, I don't know what they charge him for union membership, but we're going to hit what, Nikki?
ID and Cal at the podium.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let's do an ID, and then we're going to pick up with Coach Cal, correct?
Absolutely. So this is for the local listeners here in Louisville and in Frankfurt. Those of you listening in Lexington, you're listening to ESPN 1300, our friends down there. But for everyone locally, you're listening to
got out of that good, Nikki. No, I did that. You.
All right, that'll wrap up Fast Break Friday here. Thanks to Mike Pratt and Marcus Maben. We're going out to Coach Calipari's press conference brought to you by UPS Jobs. Want to graduate debt-free? Check it out at upsjobs.com. Coach Cal at the podium.
We've got some things that we're doing that can lead us into that, but the other side of it is we got this kid on the team that, geez, when you throw him the ball, good stuff happens.
Stay hold on this kid. It's a kid.
Nick Richards. So in a way, you want to say, let's play to our strengths. Our strengths may be different than their strengths. But, you know, when you're in games and you're seeing people do certain things, you say, well, I wonder if we could do a little bit of that.
John, is there, at the Vandy game, you said at halftime, you reminded the guys, let's go to Nick, let's play through Nick. Why do you think they
play? What I said was, all right, they made 8 threes. We had some bad rotations. We missed 5 one-footers. This is what the score should look like. Now, let's go and put this ball in his hands a little bit and play through him. Because I didn't think he got the ball enough in the first half. And the kids. There's one thing they don't forget. Their own opportunities to shoot the ball. They don't forget those. But sometimes you'll forget the other guy's opportunities. And that's usually why you have a coach that says, okay, let's get back in line here. And
do you think Nick asks for the ball in the huddles? Does he say, hey, I'm
he does.
Something?
EJ does too, which I love. So he'll say it, and they respect him, and they know. I mean, he's a great free throw shooter. He can make 15-footers. You can throw to him in the post. Last game they tried to trap. He's the one that passed it out, and we made plays on the weak side. He's getting better and better. He's the last three games he's averaging like 38 points a game. He was out a few games, which they lost, understandably. That he makes everybody on the court better. And he defends, he tries to steal, he does, he's good. He's in our league, you know, how many guys are like him? Not many. But, you know, he's playing well and somebody that we better keep an eye on.
How is Nick handling being Nick? You know what I mean? The guy that we're going to go to.
He's good. He's building his own confidence through demonstrated performance. He's doing it. He's not delusional. He's on the court. Anytime he starts to slip, he's got a whole staff all over him. Like, I may walk in a gym and he's on the treadmill. And I'm thinking, wow, isn't that great? He's out there conditioning. No, he came in half speed, and Kenny put him on the treadmill. All right, you don't want to do this? Get on the treadmill. So we're not letting up on him. We're not letting up on Tyrese. We're trying to hold and Ashton accountable. They're all responding. I mean, we got a great group of kids. My message yesterday, I showed him a place late in the game where Ashton went over and he and EJ were laughing and Ashton kind of grabbed EJ by the head and they were laughing with each other. And I said, look, this is a team that you care about one another. Play for your brother more than you're playing for you. Play for each other. You should feel a sense of responsibility in how you play, not for you, for them. Because there's... when you leave us and you think every team's this way, good luck. They're not all this way. And you have a team full of guys. I said, last game we were at Tennessee, every one of you in this room were happy for Keon and for Johnny. Do you understand it's not always like that? And so play for each other. Don't worry about you. Just know I need to be respectful of all this stuff, and I have to be make sure I understand I'm playing for my teammates is more than I'm even playing for me.
How do you get your bigs to kind of gain that confidence? I mean, what do you tell them that they have to do that you're seeing in Nick and EJ in a sense?
Part of it is you got to get in the greatest shape of your life. You have to. If you don't, you surrender. And the minute you start surrendering, you have no confidence. It's like a boxer going in, and I'm ready. And after you start, your arms come down and you get punched in the head. Well, you now have no confidence. You may be on your back too. You have no confidence. That's the first step to fighting. If you want to battle, the first battle you got to win, the battle against yourself. Like when you want to let go of the rope, when you think, I got to stop. That the first battle is battle you. And when you defeat you and you beat you, it's a little easier going and trying to beat another guy. So that's the part of it. And it takes guys time. How about this? To do that is really hard and really painful. So will you test other ways of doing it before you go to that? You do everything you can to stay away from that pain and that work and that sweat. Let me just shoot more balls. Let me shoot jump shots. How about just play me more minutes and I'll try to pass? I know I can't do this, so let me just be a passer. Well, you got twice as many turnovers as assists. I don't think that's a good one either. You mean I got to do the get in shape and the pain and the sweat and the hurt? Looks like it. Okay, let's go. I mean, they're going to do whatever they can to see, and sometimes they get enabled, people around them. If he just let you shoot more, if he just played you more, if he lets you do what he lets him do, there's no getting the greatest shape of your life. Then get on the court and build your own self-image, your own self-esteem, your own self-confidence through what Nick has done, demonstrated performance. Now, he goes in a game and he doesn't work. He doesn't play low. The other guy plays lower than him and beats him to every ball. And now you say, what happened to Nick? He tested the water. The other stuff is really hard to do. He was trying to do it an easy way. There is no easy way.
How much does it help having three guys that can shoot a high percentage of free throws in a critical game situation?
Well, I think we got a lot of guys that can make them. And down the stretch, I would feel pretty good. The issue for us is we're playing with three point guards. Our decision-making late in the game should be better than anybody else's team in the country. It should be. Now, it hasn't been until the last few games. But why wouldn't it be? If you're a point guard, are you trying to make the hardest play? Are you not seeing what the game is? We need to, if we get something easy, fine. If not, we're going to work the clock. Are you not thinking with us? Are you just exchanging baskets? You're not thinking basketball? Part of that is us and me as a coach training them to finish these games off. And it takes time. It's just, this is all, talking to a coach today, this is all process. Some, they all have to go through. Let me tell you the other thing they have to do. They have to fail, and sometimes miserably, because they have to learn, am I going to blame everybody and be delusional? Or are the people around me going to blame everybody? Or am I going to take account of what just happened and own it and then change it? And then as you go through this sport, when it happens again, you know you can do this. I can work through this. Versus it happens for the first time and all of a sudden you just crumble. And then you can't play. And they've got to fail some. I mean, it's an important part of the process.
What did you see from Ashton in the last game with some of that decision-making and his
load? Made easy plays. He wasn't trying to do crazy things. He was more disciplined. He also subbed himself. He played 31 minutes instead of trying to play 37 minutes, which means in that extra 5 or 6 minutes, that's when the play comes way back, both defensively and offensively. So, you know, I love the fact that he subbed himself.
The report came out earlier this week in regards to NCAA, ACC, and Big 12 paying lobbyists on Capitol Hill for player compensation. You had the hearing Tuesday.
Tell me again what just happened.
So an AP report came out on Monday saying that the NCAA, the ACC, and Big 12 all spent money towards lobbyists in regards to player compensation. Coming up, though, they had a hearing Tuesday in regards to that. I didn't know.
How did the hearing go?
Mixed reviews. I mean, the UConn, or not UConn, Connecticut's senator seemed to really buy in. He's big proponent that the NCAA has had money and power to do this type of lobbying to where the athletes don't have anything. So.
I didn't know about it. I didn't know they had a hearing. I didn't know who's done what, so it's hard for me to comment other than I keep coming back to, if you do right by the kids, you're doing right. There's no level playing field. That's done. I just read today that Ohio State's athletic budget was $210 million. $210 million. I believe Sacred Heart in Connecticut, who's in the same Division I, I think their total budget for athletics was $9 million. Let me explain. There is no level playing field. So throw that away. How do we take care of the kids? And when you say that, and if you're talking name and likeness, you're talking 50 kids around the country, 100 kids. So you don't want to throw everything out for 100 kids, but it is going to be different. When they leave campus, do they take stuff with them? Do you let them use stuff for their parents to travel? I mean, here's what I would say. I have one degree, barely got it. One. I was the first Prop 48 coach. They made me sit out my first year. Said, not smart enough. Let's get in a room. You got 15 people, 20 people with three college degrees, sometimes four. You can't get in a room and figure this thing out? There's no level playing field. Don't throw out the baby for the... How about that one? I swear to you, I could get people like me, very dumb people, in a room. We could come up with something. Right now, I got one issue. I got to coach against Mississippi Saturday, so I have no time to think about all this stuff. But if that was my job, and that's what I would do, come up with some ideas. I don't want to comment. I want the NCAA to say, here's what we're planning on doing. Then I'll comment. Let them go through the process of doing it. At the end of the day, I told you all the tea leaves that I think it's going to end up in Congress, and it's the only way it'll work, because you can't have 50 states having 50 different laws that oversee college. It won't work. So now let's get back to how we got to do this.
John, on a lighter note, why did you go back to the suit and tie?
I can't remember. I think my wife told me she liked the open collar look. So I said, really? So then I started wearing a tie. Happy Thanksgiving. No, what is this? What is this? Merry Christmas? What are we in? What is it? Oh, happy Valentine's Day, Alan.
There you have it. Coach Calipari's press conference brought to you by our friends at UPS Jobs. Graduate debt-free. Learn more about the UPS Jobs Loop Program and Metro College at upsjobs.com. I'm a proud Metro College graduate. It's a great program. Check it out. You can graduate debt-free. upsjobs.com. Coach Cal, a little shtick at the end there. Forgot what holiday it was, but got a Wang haymaker there talking about open button shirts and shirt and ties and a little bit of Cal Satterfield in the beginning, and some talking a little bit about the player likeness and whatnot. Good stuff there from Cal. But that'll wrap up Fast Break Friday for our friends in ESPN, listening on ESPN 1300. Keith Pointer and myself, and maybe Paul Biancardi, will take you down the stretch here in Louisville. You're listening to Fast Break Friday on the PNV Network, emanating from the Papa John's studios at ESPN 680-1057.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.